morning.
I got to start with Psalms 19:14. It says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." Amen? Now, things have really changed since I was here, all around the world. And is anybody like saying, "God, what are you up to? Am I the only one? Come on now, you know lying's a sin." You know, do you ever get angry? Some of the things that are going on ever make you angry? Like the post office? Is anybody getting their mail on time? Anybody? No, I didn't think so. I get a bill in the mail and it's due on the 10th and it's already the 14th. You know, it's like, come on. I get bill collectors calling me, "Well, you haven't paid us in 2 months." Well, I haven't had a bill from you and I sent you a check and you never put it in the bank. So, yeah, Christmas cards are still. Hey, Tom used to work for the post office. And it all went to pot since you left. That's right. Is anybody following the science? I'm sorry. Schools are closed. Our kids are suffering. That makes me angry. I have to babysit a lot more than I used to. That really made, no, I'm just kidding. I love my kids. Follow the science. Wash your hands. Wear a mask. Social distance. I feel muzzled and controlled sometimes. I'm a hugger. I love you. I want to hug every one of you. Can't do that. And if I hear the word unprecedented one more time, I'm going to scream. COVID, oh yeah, we got COVID, right? It's real, and we do need to deal with it. So let's impeach the president that's no longer a president. Let's do that. Let's change all the policies just because somebody else set them. Saying any names. Thousands of people are out of jobs. And look at the new abortion laws that are coming at us. That makes me angry. Breaks my heart. But you know what? We got to remember something. Everybody's talking about the end times. And everybody's talking about all the things that are wrong in the world. And yeah, we probably need to talk about them. But let's not lose our focus because of them, right? You probably preach this already, and you tell your people this all the time, but I think we need to be encouraged to stay focused on who we are and whose we are, right? And I like the fact that you all keep a sense of humor about this because we've got... You know, there was a wise man once said, "If we don't all laugh, we'll all go insane." Jimmy Buffett, 1983. Huh? So today, I want to ask some questions. You know, Pastor asked that. By the way, thank you for having me. You know, let me tell you, man, it is way past. You know, over the last year, I've got to do this like 3 times. I've lost the calluses on my fingers. I'm serious. It hurts today. That really hurts today. I'm in pain. But I was telling Kim, I said, you know, I could complain about that, but it doesn't hurt near as much as nails through my hands and feet. Somebody say amen. I'm willing to stand a little pain to praise the Lord. So I want to ask you, why, what, who, when, and where? I used to be in the media. I worked in radio for years, and when you did a story, You ask those questions. Why, what, who, when, and where. So my question today is, why Jesus? And then my next question is, why not? Right? Listen, this world is, it's going to come to an end as we know it. Jesus is coming back. And in the words of Mel, what's his name? Mel did the Jesus movie. Mel Gibson. I was going to say Mel Brooks. I'm in a funny mood today. Mel Gibson said it. Jesus is coming back. And he's pissed. Pardon my words, but that's what he said. And you know what? There's a lot of truth in that. He is going to come back in power and glory. And he's going to take his children. Let's be sure we're one of them. So why Jesus? Because the Bible tells us that no man comes to the Father except through him. You want to go to heaven? You got to have some Jesus. And I want as much of that as I can get. Amen? So my next question is what? What is Jesus? What is Jesus? Well, he's the Son of God, right? He's my Lord and Savior, right? What is he to the world? To those who don't know him and don't believe in him, even those who are against him. Let's face it, there's some powers out there that are trying to beat these Christians up. You see perseverance sneaking into this country. Do you see it? If you don't, you're blind. There's perseverance coming into our country, and it's getting stronger and stronger every day. So guess what? We got to get stronger and stronger every day. And how do we do that? We hang out with Jesus because that's where the power is. That's where the blood of Christ, that's what Jesus is. How about who? Who is Jesus? That's one word. He's God. He's Lord. But he's God. And no matter what goes on, I know we all come in prayer and we all want to talk to God and we all want to put all of our needs and wants out there in front of God. I'm going to read you something. It's from a preacher by the name of Francis Chan. I'm sure you've heard of him. And I got his book, Crazy Love. Oh, man, it's killer. But, you know, it really convicted me when I read this. It says, God is all powerful. So if he's all powerful, why are all these things going on in the world? A lot of people are asking that question, right? And Colossians 1:16 tells us that everything was created for God. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. But keep that in mind, because he goes on to, he's a little rough sometimes. He says, don't we live instead as though God has created for us to do our bidding, to bless us, and to take care of our loved ones? Guilty. Psalm 115:3 reads, our God is in heaven. He does whatever pleases him. Wow. Yet we keep on questioning him. That's why I brought these questions today. And I'm not done yet. He said, questioning him, why did you make me with this body instead of that one? Why are so many people dying of starvation? You ever ask that question? Yeah. Why are there so many planets with nothing living on them? Why is my family so messed up? I ask that one almost every day. Why don't you make yourself more obvious to the people who need you. Right? So the answer to each of these questions is simple. Because he's God. Because he's God. He has more of a right to ask us why so many people are starving. There is an abundance in this world at our disposal. Nobody should be starving. And as much as we want God to explain himself to us, his creation, we are in no place to demand that he give an account to me. We got to understand that God is God. His ways are not our ways. We couldn't understand his ways if we tried because of our finite minds. God is God. We got to let God be God. You know, I heard him say that about a president we had not too long ago. You know, let him be who he is. We need to be who we are. We are his children. We are his servants. And he has all the power. So he gets all the glory. Amen? So the next question is when? Jesus. When? That's not for us to know, is it? It's not for us to know when he's coming back. It's for us to live today as if he's coming back today. Because that's all he gives us is today. He said it in his word. Forget about yesterday. There's nothing you can do about it. And forget about tomorrow. Because it's not here yet, and they're not guaranteed tomorrow. You got today. So let's live today like he's coming back today. Whew. Scary. I got some things I want to do first, right? Okay, where, Jesus? Where is Jesus? Where is he? And a lot of people are asking that question to the non-Christians asking Christians, where is your Jesus? Where is your Jesus? All this stuff going on, where's your Jesus? He's on the throne, seated at the right hand of the Father, and he is coming back. And God allows us to make choices. This is something I've learned over the years. The older I get, the more I realize. The only thing we have power over is our choices. You have no power over your finances. Look what's happened in the COVID era to people's finances. People's jobs, mail delivery, right? Look at what's happened. There's no security in all of that. There's only security in our faith in Christ. That's the only security we have, and the only power we have is the choice to make that choice. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is God. We are not. Sometimes we've got to wait on him. I feel like we're kind of waiting on him right now. No, I definitely know that we are waiting on him right now. There's no thinking about it. And he's coming back. He's coming back. And I can see his hand in the midst of all this calamity and confusion and division. I see his hand on it. And we need to open our eyes to that because he's working it out. He's out ahead of us. See, I heard a preacher say the other day, and this made a lot of sense to me. God doesn't see things like we see them. He's not constrained by time. He sees things from the end to the beginning, where we see things from the beginning to the end, and we want to know what's going to happen next. Well, God already knows what's going to happen next. He's already laid it out. And if you read the book and get all the way to the end, we win. And we have to have faith in that. You believe what this book tells us? You believe that this is the unadulterated word of God, without fault, all truth. Do you believe that? There are a couple of translations out there, I wonder, but now they... I guess you can tell I use this a little bit. But this is where the truth is. This is where the power is. This is where we get to talk to God. We get to hear what Jesus has to say about everything. And if you listen to what he's saying in here, what's going on around us all makes sense. Let me read you something. It's in 2 Timothy. You got your Bibles. You know, I had a preacher tell me one time, church is a great place to take a Bible. In 2 Timothy, chapter 3, 1 through 5, he says, but realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious, gossips without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. Know anybody like that? Seen anybody like that? Nod your heads, because I know you have. There's a lot of evil going on in this world. A lot of evil. So let me jump down here, and this is to prove my point that it's all in here. He says in chapter 3, verse 16, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. He also tells us in 2 Peter that he has given us everything. He has given us everything according to godliness. How's it going? So they're pertaining to life and godliness. He's given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. The memory banks are a little faded, you know. But he's given all that to us. Are we using it? Are we paying attention? Then in chapter 4, he says, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. But you, be sober in all things. Endure hardship. And do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. He's not talking to the preachers. He's talking to the people. I mean, you already know what your job is. You know your calling. You better know your calling. You know, any of us who are going to minister for the Lord Jesus needs to know our calling. Be darn sure you know. But always be ready to share your testimony. So we are overcomers because of the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. I can give you testimony after testimony after testimony of my life, of how God has stepped in and done things miraculously that I could never explain. Except it's God. So all this junk's going on. How many of you feel better now? I love this man. Here's what I want you to remember. Remember the promises that he made to us. And you know, in Romans 8:28 is my favorite promise because it kind of encompasses all of the promises. And it says that all things work for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purposes. Right? That is the greatest promise. Maybe not the greatest promise, but it's one of my favorites, all right? All things. That includes all this mess we talked about. He's going to straighten out the post office one way or another. No, we don't want you to go back. You keep moving forward. So just remember that, you know, we talk about all of this, but the main thing is your personal relationship with your Savior. And to be in his word and in his presence, there's nothing like being in his presence. Since the week before the latest inauguration, God has been waking me up in the wee hours of the morning. At first, I really didn't like it much. I was like, really? Okay, I got to pee anyway. I'm sorry. Sometimes I have no filter, Pastor, so. But so I got up, and he said, and I'm 65 years old, and there's some things that are going on with my body that I don't particularly like. And he says, get up, go downstairs, get a glass of water. We're going to talk, and I'm going to heal you. What? God ever talk to you like that? By the way, before you get out of here, I'm going to hug you. I missed you, brother. So I get up and I go downstairs and I got a little spot where I get on my knees. I don't like that much either because I got to get back up. So I get down and I get on my knees. I have my drink of water, like he said. Really, is that you or am I just crazy? You know. So I have my drink of water and I get on my knees and I start to pray. And I stop and I listen. This is important. When you're praying, take time to stop and listen because he will answer you. Oh, yeah. In ways that you aren't expecting too sometimes. I know more than once I've said, what? I don't want to do that. Yeah, okay, I'm not the only one, right? So every morning since, he gets me up sometimes 12:30. I know some of you are still up at 12:30, but I've been in bed for 3 hours already, okay? Sometimes 2:30, sometimes 3:30. I really like the 3:30 one. Because I can't get back to sleep and the alarm goes off at 5:30, right? But he always has something for me. And I've been praying the blood of Christ over all of it. Even right down to my family. Right down to my family. Did I tell you I'm a granddad? I got a one-year-old. He's going to be one in March. He is something else. Really, really cute. Looks just like me. But this is what this personal relationship is about. Every one of us has to have this. As believers, he calls us to a personal relationship with him. And everyone is going to be different because every one of us is different. Thank God, right? There's not two of me or two of you. And that personal relationship and that time spent in his presence will give you that peace beyond understanding. It will give you new understanding of his word. It will give you a new perspective when you get up in the morning and go back out into the world. He will strengthen you in those times. You know? So we also get direction. We need to know what he wants us to do. Not so much what we want him to do for us, right? He's turned us around because he says, if you will seek my righteousness and my kingdom first, all these other things will be added unto you. So we don't have to worry about those things that we want so much, right? We do his bidding, not him do our bidding. I got a song I want to do for you. And I got two songs I want to do for you, and we'll wrap this up. I hope that I've been some encouragement to you today. I didn't come to entertain, but you know what? God is entertaining, isn't he? When he goes to work, and that's, you know, one of the first things I do is ask him to get me out of the way and just say, tell me what you want me to say. And I think I said some things today that I needed to hear. I don't know about the rest of you. Why would God take the time to minister to me? Why would God take the time to minister to you? You don't really have a question, an answer for that, do you? Except that he loves us, and he wants to. He wants to. You have a way of knowing just what we need and when. You have a way of showing a divine love that you send. I don't understand how. And I don't understand why. But I don't need to understand right now. I'm just glad you take the time. Amen. You have a way of changing our hearts from dark to light. You have a way of rearranging our words from death to life. I don't understand how. I don't understand why. And I don't need to understand right now. I'm just glad you take the time. Thank you, Lord. I'm glad you take the time. You take the time. When we don't take the time for you, but your love is divine, and every word you say is true. You are beautiful, you are wonderful, you are faithful, and you are true. You are beautiful, you are wonderful, you are faithful, Lord, you are you. I don't understand how,
I don't understand why. I don't need to understand right now. I'm just glad you take the time. So glad you take the time.
Know what I mean? Know what I mean, Vern? So I'm going to leave you with this one. I'm not going to leave you.
I'll never leave you with the safety.
In the words of Jesus. But as we leave here, Father God, I just pray that you would continue to lift up this body of believers. That you would continue to protect and provide, continue to teach, minister to, grow, and bless each and every one. Father, I want to lift up Pastor Ken, especially today, where he has remained faithful and he has been steadfast through all of it. And he has been an encouragement to me, and I thank you for him. In Jesus' name, amen. No matter what it looks like, no matter how it seems, no matter what they're saying about you, tearing down your dreams, don't give up. Don't give up. Though the world may stand against you, you know you are not alone. So don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Now there's a rock that I stand on. He's my fortress and strength. He's the one that I rely on. And he promised me at length. He said, don't give up. That's what he said. He said, persevere, brother. No, no, don't give up. Now if the whole world stands against you, you know you are not alone, so don't give up, don't give up. I said, don't give up. Well, he is a Lion of Judah. He is a King of all kings. He is the one who moves the mountains and he makes the angels sing. He's got this whole world shaking. Now we'll be dancing in the streets. He's got this whole world shaking. Say, claim the victory and don't give up. I said, don't give up. Rock on. Sometimes it's crazy. All this whole world's gone insane. Just remember who's in charge and forever praise his name. And don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. I'll never leave you nor forsake you, in Jesus' own words. Cause if the whole world stands against you, you know you are not alone. So don't give up, don't give up. I said, don't give up, you know. said, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Woo! I think y'all have endured enough pain today. Thank you. I do have one more if we got time. It's going to hurt, but I'm going to do it anyway. I have never, ever had a bruise on the end of my finger. But I... Oh. All better. Oh, man. This is a song that... that my wife and I wrote together in Tennessee before we moved up here. We lived in Tennessee for 26 years. She likes to remind me that was over half her life. She's a little younger than I am. You know, maturity levels and stuff, you know. Still probably got one too old for me, don't I? We went through this is a testimony of God. We went through a bit of a rough time down in Tennessee when the real estate market crashed between 15 to 20 years ago. We were living in this beautiful home down there. We had two nice vehicles. I was running a construction company, and boom, the bottom dropped out. And we had a sister, my wife's sister, was very sick with cancer. And they were asking us to move back up here and help. My wife's a nurse, so they were asking us to come back up and help. And we were flying her back. And actually, the sister's husband was flying my wife back and forth from Tennessee to Wilmington or Philly. And finally, he said, "When are you guys going to move up here?" And my wife said, "You need to ask Ray, and he ain't moving." So he called me, and they got to understand, this is Big Tim. Big Tim's an atheist, okay? Well, what do you think when you get an atheist in your midst? Does anybody think opportunity? Yeah. So he calls me up, and he tells me he wants us to move up there. He's going to find us a place to live, pay our first and last month's rent, and security deposit, and he'd have all the work I needed. Because he's a real estate agent. And he's all that. So I said, "Well, listen, Tim, I've got to go and talk to my boss." And I said, "I'm not talking about Emmy, my wife." I said, "I'm going to go talk to my boss." I said, "I'll get back to you." So I went up. I had a room over the garage. The bonus room was huge. That was my sanctuary. So I went up there. I said, "Emmy, I'm going to go." She knew what was going on. I said, "I'm going to go upstairs and pray, and I'll be back." So I went up, and I got on my knees, and I'm praying, and I'm sweating. You know, I'm praying, because this is a big deal. I didn't want to move back to Delaware. Y'all are thinking, nobody wants to move to Delaware. Well, I live in Maryland now, just so you know. But I'm praying. All these words are coming out of my mouth. Oh, what do I do? You know, this. I don't want to. And so on and so forth. This is the one time he tapped me on his shoulder. He said, "Shut up." He talks to us in our own language that we understand. And he said, "Shut up. Listen to me for a minute. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to put your house on the market. I want you to sell off everything that you can't carry, and I want you to move to Delaware in 30 days. I said, "What? I can't do that. How am I going to do it?" He fires back. He does this to me. He said, "How much do you trust me? How much do you trust God? You better trust him with all you got." So I said, "I repent." I trust you. I'll put the house on the market and we'll start selling stuff off. You know, in 30 days we had our truck packed and we were moving, going up the road. And I said, before that happened, I said, well, where am I going to live? I got a place to go. Guess what he said? How much you trust me? So as we're just a couple days away from rolling up the road, we're going to stay with Tim and the sister at their house with their kids and our kids. And I'm not looking forward to this. Tim calls me and he says, the house next door just went up for rent. The house next, did you hear what I said? This, you can't make this stuff up. The house next door just went up for rent. He says, I got it. I paid you first and last. So he did what he said he was going to do. He says, so you're moving in right next door to us. Is that God? How much you trust me? So we moved back to Delaware. We lived in a little place called, what was it? They had a TV show, Green Acres on Silverside Road. And a big house, $1,200 a month. Now, this was 15 years ago. I said, how am I going to pay that? How much you trust me? Anyway, here we were. We came back. I got a sister who's got a 5% chance of surviving this cancer. And see, I detected it before they knew it. They came for a visit, and I said, you need to go to the doctor. It was just something that God told me to say. I said, you're something about your color. Go to the doctor and get your blood checked. And that's when they found the cancer. So she looked at me as a seer, right? And she would come to me, and we'd read the Bible together. Her husband's an atheist. Are you catching this? This is a testimony of God. And she came to me about 2 weeks later. She's getting ready to go in for tests. She says, I don't care what the doctor said. God touched me last night, and he healed me. And I said, okay, let's pray about that. And we prayed, and I'm like, okay. I've never seen this happen. I'm not a believer in that. I've never experienced it. I didn't know if I believed in it or not. But she said God touched her and she was healed. Don't care what the doctors say. She goes in for the tests. Guess what? She's completely clear. Completely clear of cancer. God showed up and showed out, man. Let me tell you. And before she went and had the test done, her husband came to me. I said, Ray, what am I going to do? I said, about what? She thinks she's healed. I said, so do I. So does Emmy. We think she's healed too. Well, what if she's not? I said, what if she is? Because I kept hearing this thing in my head ringing, how much you trust me? How much you trust me? I said, what if she is? He says, I'll convert. I said, I'm going to hold you to that. He didn't convert. But you could see God's hand on that too. That's in his brain the rest of his life. She got healed because of her faith. Not because of anything I said or read or did. It's because of her faith. She got healed, totally healed. She was eat up with it. They couldn't find a trace. I'm a believer in that now. I think that's real. You know, somebody testify. I'm a cancer survivor myself, all right? I had a case of melanoma, and I'm totally healed of it. It wasn't a big deal like hers, but it was still, God showed. I could go on and on and on, and I won't. But during this time, we're getting ready to move from Tennessee to Delaware. We wrote this song. I wrote it, and then my wife fixed it. Is that what they do? Hey, you know, when I break a power tool, she fixes it. I can't fix it. She fixes it. I can build you a house, but I can hardly change oil in my car. So this is a testimony and song. Thank you.
I can see you rain, I can see you shine, I can see your majesty when I open my eyes, and I can feel your love, I can feel your touch. So tell me, Lord, how you could love me that much. Because from where I stand, I can see the cross. And from where I stand, I see the shadows fall. And from where I stand, I'm the man who drove those nails through your hands. You took my place from where I stand. I can see your face, and I can hear your voice, and I can read your word today and still be the sinner of my choice. And then I see you smile through your broken heart. Lord, you died for me, and that just tears me apart. Because from where I stand, I can see the cross. And from where I stand, I see the shadows fall. And from where I stand, I'm the man who drove those nails through your hands. You took my place from where I stand. It's only by your grace God's perfect gift I've got to thank you Jesus. Oh, I've got to thank you for every day you let me live. Because from where I stand, I can see the cross, yeah. And from where I stand, I see the shadows fall. And from where I stand, I'm the man who drove those nails through your hands. And you took my place, Lord. You took my place. You took my place from where I stand, from where I stand, from where I stand. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. I love y'all.